Lord, your will be done this morning. I thank you for it. Amen. Okay, this is going to be my last Sunday in a series that I've been in about how to share the gospel. It's been part of an overall thing of equipped for service, how to share the gospel. And so some of you might be familiar with sharing the gospel, some of you might be less familiar with sharing the gospel, but Brenda was recently at a Lou Engel meeting, and she texted me and said, I just heard a word that's so right for Agathos, and it's Luke 10:2. So Sarah, if you're ready to rock, I'm ready to start throwing scriptures up there. Luke 10:2, if you want to turn with me. This is a word for our church right now, and it's coming to pass already. So it's not just prophetic, it's already in action. Then he said to them, Jesus, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So the harvest is great, and the harvest is people, right? In fact, Pentecost was the Jewish festival of the harvest, and then Pentecost happens, and thousands are saved. Did you catch that? The harvest of grain was a type and a shadow of the actual harvest of people. And so the Holy Spirit's power is on earth in order to harvest souls for the kingdom. It's the first thing that happened when the Holy Spirit showed up is that souls were harvested for the kingdom. And so the harvest is truly great. In other words, I've been saying this, the fishing is good. Any thought that we have in our mind that says, oh, you know, people's hearts are hardened to the gospel. No, I'm telling you, Jesus said so, the fishing is good. There's plenty of fish to catch. The fishing is good. How's the fishing? Good. The harvest is truly great. But what's the problem? The laborers are few. Do you see it? Jesus is saying, if you want to understand what's going on, here's what's going on. The harvest is actually great, but there's not many people out fishing. And Jesus wants to make you a fisher of men. The Bible says that he told Peter and John, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And so that's one of the things that happens when we're a follower of Christ, is he turns us into a fisher of men. It's the nature of being with him that we want others to know what he is. Okay? So here's what's happening. Harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few, and Jesus gives you the solution. What's he say? Pray. Huh? Oh. Now, what we tend to do is harvest is truly great, laborers are few, and what we do is we try to put like a branding iron in the fire and poke our butt enough that we kind of get ourselves going. But the thing is, there's three types of power: flesh power, will power, which is soul power, and faith power. And as Christians, the righteous are to live by faith. So we're supposed to operate under faith power. How do we operate under faith power? In this case, Jesus is saying, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into the harvest. Now, the word send out there is ekbalo in the Greek, and I've taught on this, but I'm bringing it back up because it's so key. It's literally the key that's unlocking what the Lord's doing in our body in this season. Remember in December, I told you I saw the Lord, and I had a vision in prayer, and I saw the Lord get up here. Well, actually, he was sitting back there listening to me preach. And then I said, hey, why don't you come up? So I see the Lord, Jesus, come up here, and then I write down what he tells me. And he says how precious this body is to him and how much he loves your knowledge of who he is. And then he gives one sort of new gear. And he said, I'm calling you to what? Go out, to reach out, to deliver to others, to deliver to your neighbors what I've given to you. That's what the Lord's doing right now in this body. And it's already happening. Between the last 2 weeks, I'll say this, between February 5th and February 19th, remember I started sharing about how to share the gospel on January 29th, then I shared again on February 5th. Between February 5th and February 19th, two people texted me within 24 hours to say, hey, I just got to share the gospel. Come on. And it, to me, it was like an Elijah cloud in the distance, and I said, that'll work. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And Amber shared her testimony last week about that. Do you know that since 2 weeks ago and now, there's been four people that have let me know that they've shared the gospel? What's that called? Multiplication. 2 times 2 equals? So what's going to happen next? 8. And so what's happening is you guys are getting stirred up to share the gospel, but do you know why you're actually getting stirred up? It's because I and others are praying Luke 10:2. Because he said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into the harvest. And the word send out, ekbalo, means to expel. When Jesus expelled demons out of people, he ekbaloed the demon out of them. This is a firm word. He's saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest to expel the people out into the harvest. So do you know what I've been praying for myself? That the Lord of the harvest would expel me further out into the harvest, forcefully send, compel me out into the harvest. Isn't that awesome? So you don't need to do it on willpower. You can do it on faith power. You ask him to expel you out into the harvest, to send you out into the harvest. Good so far? Okay, that's what we're doing. Do you want to share real quickly? You ready?
So this last week, I was going to go meet my sister somewhere, and as I was driving, where I was going the opposite way, and I saw in my side view mirror this this worker, and he was doing some work, but it was just him. And he caught my eye, and I was already late to meet my sister, and I had the boys with me, and here I am turning out, and I felt like the Lord was like, you need to go talk with him about Jesus. And I'm like, good, I have these tracks, but I was thinking, you know what, I'm already late, and oh, I don't know, you know. And sometimes if I feel that feeling, I'll just pray, and I'll be like, Lord, you know, if it's not me, send someone. So I'm like, because sometimes, you know, the Lord will highlight somebody, and I'll catch my eye, and I'll just pray for them, because sometimes it's not necessarily that I'm supposed to speak to them, but this time I was driving, and I continued to drive, and I kept on feeling this thing in my heart, like, no, it's not somebody else, it's you. And so I was driving, and I was like, okay, I have to say yes. I have to turn around, and I'm going to go talk to this guy. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm getting kind of nervous, and how am I trying to figure out how I'm going to do this? Because he's on the street and working on something. So I turn around. The boys are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm turning around. I'm following the Holy Spirit, you know. So I turned around, and I came back, and I didn't see him. And then I was like, oh, I see him now. But it was kind of harder to get to him where he was. And so I could tell he's not like actively working. He's kind of just waiting. So then I went and I turned around again and I came back and I parked my car on the other side of the street and I like waved at him and I like came over with a track. And then he opened his window up and he was like, hi, you know, so I just talked to him for a second. And then I said, do you know Jesus? And he's like, yes. And I said, have you heard about Jesus? And he's like, yes. And do you know him? Have you met him? And he was like, no. So I was like, okay, you know. And so I talked to him really briefly. And I didn't. He said, do you have a card? You know, something. And I was like, I do. I said, I opened the tract up and I said, this will show you and tell you about how to have a relationship with God. And he was like, oh, you know, okay. And so it was really brief because my car was running, the kids were in it, and I was across the street, and I was already late. So I handed it to him, and then, you know, said, God bless you. I can't remember if I said anything else, but ran back to my car, got in, and as I'm driving by, I see him, it's open, he's reading it, you know. But it was, like, really awesome, and I was just kept on praying for him, Lord, that you would be touching his heart, that you would be moving upon him. So just the rest of the day I was praying for him, but sometimes you hear the Lord and you don't act. And I've done that before, but I've been feeling as I listen to the Lord and I hear his voice and I act on it, I hear him again more strongly and I know that it's him and I need to respond to it. And I just felt like that day I was like, if I don't respond to this, if I shut the Holy Spirit down and I say, no, you told me to do that and I'm going to say no, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I was just like, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to not listen to the Holy Spirit because I know what it deadens my heart to hearing him again. It's not that he won't speak to me, but it's that, you know, when we say no to him, it makes it a little bit harder the next time to say yes. So anyways, that's my story.
Really good. By the way, also, two out of the four testimonies I had of people sharing the gospel in the last 2 weeks were kids. Isn't that awesome? And the testimony from one of the kiddos actually inspired another one of the kiddos to share the gospel. So, really, really good. Really, really good. It really is blessing the Lord's heart. A few nuggets. Did you catch that, what Megan said? She kind of said like a Hebrews 3:15 thing. Hebrews 3:15, today if you hear his voice, don't what? Harden your hearts. If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. For me, what happens if I don't listen to the Lord about going to witness to someone or approaching someone to just even talk with them to see if there's an opportunity there, I have to harden my heart to not go. And then I have to go through the process of softening my heart later. The other thing that I've found, and I don't have a scripture for this, is that the anointing is stronger and the grace is better for what you need to do if you do it right away. And you're going to hear that in a story I share in a little bit. Okay, I'll leave it there. Okay, we've got a lot of papers coming to you today. Sorry about that. Does anybody not have our How to Share the Gospel blue sheet? Or if you don't have it with you, we've got enough extra. This is what we've been working off of for a little while. There you guys are. Okay. Now, if you turn to the back of the page, which won't be readily apparent, it's the one that says seven examples of ways to, quote, break the ice. It's on the bottom, seven examples of ways to break the ice. Now, what I had heard from our leaders is that they knew the message of the gospel. Obviously, you need to know the message of the gospel to share the gospel. But I heard from them that they had heard they knew the message of the gospel. The question was, how do you get into situations where you can actually share it? And so this is my fourth and final week on teaching on ways that I've had opportunities to get into the chance to share the gospel. And there's been a lot of, like I said, there's been fruit on this message already, and I'm very excited about that. So you heard how I used Brad's five questions with the waitress at the North Carolina Bed and Breakfast. There was a personal testimony about how to be a better parent, where I got to lead that gentleman to the Lord, which was wonderful. And you can see the list there. Look at the one. I'm going to add an eighth to the list. So let me give you another testimony right now. This one I would call explaining a theological question to someone. Or in other words, the Holy Spirit teeing up a theological question. Sarah, if you'd pull up Acts chapter 8, if you've got your Bibles, Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. Familiar story, Acts 8, 26 through 40, but in this case, it's illustrative. I've got three testimonies to share with you today, and I'm kind of interspersing teaching into the testimonies. So this one is the Holy Spirit teeing up a theological question for you. It's not on my original list. Now, you guys know the story of Philip, right? In Acts chapter 8. So the Lord tells Philip, hey, go over here. I'm going to summarize for sake of time. Go over here, go to this road. And then the Lord points out to Philip a certain chariot. And he tells Philip, hey, go overtake the chariot, as in go catch that chariot. So Philip goes over there. Now, Philip is consistently thinking, the Bible says when Philip was appointed a deacon, he was a faithful man, right? So he's faithful to the work of the Lord. So he's going to be consistently thinking about what's the Lord doing. And so if the Lord tells him to go over here and then he tells him to overtake a chariot, what's Philip thinking? God's probably going to have me do something, right? Minister to someone. So Philip comes to the chariot and what does he hear? Philip ran to him, verse 30, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Now in an instant, since Philip is already thinking, I know what God's going to be having me do. He's going to have an assignment for me. That's why he's having me go over here. As soon as he hears the prophet Isaiah being read, what do you think that Philip's thinking? We find out. He says, do you understand what you're reading? Immediately, Philip put two and two together. God told me to go over here. This guy's reading the prophet Isaiah about Jesus, we find out, nonetheless. And Philip immediately knows I'm supposed to share the gospel with him. Do you see how Philip put two and two together? Who's the inventor that said, good luck comes to the well-prepared, or something like that. I think Pasteur maybe was it. That's what's happening here. Philip was well-prepared to share the gospel, and then when positioned in an opportunity where it was clearly a gospel-sharing opportunity, it was clear to him that it was a gospel-sharing opportunity because he was ready for it. So Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31, and the guy says, how can I unless someone else guides me? Did you just hear that? That is such a good word for you. Such a good word for me. How can they understand unless we guide them? Romans 10 says the exact same thing. And he asked Philip to come sit with him. The place in the scripture he read, look what he was reading. I mean, God's timing is incredible. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He's reading about Jesus' sacrifice right then when the Lord set up Philip to overtake this chariot. Isn't that awesome? Now, so the eunuch, and then So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Isn't this amazing? Do you see the tee up here? Philip doesn't even need to ask the question. The guy asks him to share about Jesus. Is Isaiah talking about himself or someone else? And what's it say? Then Philip opened his mouth. That's a key. That's a key. That's a key. The devil wants to keep your mouth shut. The devil wants to keep your mouth shut. Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Isn't that awesome? And then the guy says, can I get baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with your whole heart, you may. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? Let me give you my story. Because this is I had the exact same thing happen to me, except there wasn't a chariot and it was a little bit different. I get a message very early one morning, like a time I don't get my messages. But I happen to see this message. And here's what the message is. Hey, from a friend. Hey, I'm wondering, would you be able to explain to me how the law of Moses relates to Jesus? Out of the blue. Someone I've not talked to probably in 6 months or more. Hey, would you be able to explain to me how the law of Moses relates to Jesus? And I'm thinking, boy, could I? Now, immediately I'm thinking of Romans 10:4, which says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for all who believe. That's such a powerful scripture, as in Jesus fulfilled the law that who would ever believe in him would be righteous through Christ instead of trying to fulfill the law. Isn't that awesome? And so this person, just through the Holy Spirit, it turns out this person was reading the Bible all night long, and at the end of reading the Bible all night long, decides to message me very early in the morning to say, would you be able to explain how the law of Moses relates to Jesus? I mean, the Holy Spirit had lined this whole thing up until the ball got placed on the tee. God gave me a big Bertha driver, for those of you that play golf, and is like, would you like to swing? Yes, I would. And now, what did I do? Did I message back Romans 10:4 and call it good? No. I said, hey, I could talk on the phone if you're available. And so then I give the story of Adam and Eve, the story of sin, the story of the law, the fact that the law didn't work for anybody. No one fulfilled the law except for Jesus, who was perfect. And then I talk about, you know, like a Romans 10:4 sort of thing and the need to be born again. And they're asking, how can I have this? Oh, would you like to get born again? Yes, I'd like to get born again. Are you sure? Don't do it because I told you about it. No, I want to get born again. Okay. Well, here's what we need to do. We need to pray. Okay, so I believe you've already believed in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, and now we're going to declare that he's risen from the dead and that you are born again, okay? And so I led him in a prayer, he got born again right there. Awesome. Isn't that amazing? This is like the Philip story. Do you see how it's exactly the same? A theological question got totally teed up. Here's my thoughts, a couple encouragements about that. I believe God will give me more of those the more faithful I continue to be. I mean, he gave to Philip was a faithful man, and he lined this scenario up for him. Sometimes the Lord will, you know, with some people that have lots of chances, everybody's got to have, every doctor has to be first like a doctor in training, right? But sometimes you don't give the doctor in training to the patient. You give the most experienced doctor to this patient straight away because there's no time to waste. What I'm saying is there was a short window there to reach this Ethiopian eunuch, and the Lord arranged for a Philip to go. But as you're more faithful, God's going to give you more and more and more and more of these opportunities. What we've noticed, this is a crazy thing. Over the last 3 years, I'd say, often Megan and I and our family will get terribly delayed in a store. I can't explain it other than we'll literally look at each other. Are we crazy? It's like we're lost in our normal grocery store. We're taking 30 minutes longer than we should. And do you know what? It's happened so many times now, we've learned that almost always what's actually going on is the Lord is delaying us for us to run into a certain person. It literally becomes like a ministry seek and find. It's like, oh, he's doing it again. I mean, it's like we're walking around like chickens with our heads cut off. Oh, we forgot this. Oh, we forgot this. And all of a sudden, we've learned that it's not that we've become inept all of a sudden. It's actually that the Holy Spirit's delaying us. And we'll run into someone. Like one time Megan had met a gentleman. She wanted to get to pray for him again. She prayed, God, I pray I'd meet him again. 20-minute delay in the grocery store, cheese aisle, met him. Saw him again. Isn't that awesome? Me totally delayed, see someone that I went to grade school with, share the whole gospel. Here's another one. Buying a bunch of big heavy stuff at a store, carrying it. Ugh, this is heavy. Someone cuts in front of me in the aisle. I mean bad cut in front of me. Like really? With a cart of 16-foot material cuts in front of me. Like, look, you weren't exactly driving a sports car here to weave into traffic like that, you know? So they cut in front of me, and now they're walking like 2 miles an hour. They're getting their thing stuck between every aisle, and I'm standing behind them with heavy stuff on my shoulder. So I'm standing there for like 2 minutes. Finally, we get to the checkout line, and now I got to wait behind them in the checkout line, which is taking even longer while I got stuff on my shoulder. And so I'm trying not to get into offense because Mark Crawford says it really well. Your breakthrough is on the other side of offense. Because Jesus was a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And he's the ultimate breakthrough, and he's on the other side of offense. He's about to minister, I think. Okay. Now, so I'm trying not to get an offense as I'm waiting in line, right? And I was doing a good job, kept my heart pure. It's just like you just choose, right? So I don't get into offense. Now, as this person checks out in front of me, I hear the number that their price comes to because it caught my ear, and they paid $55.55 for what they bought. Now, that catches my ear because five in the Bible means grace. And when God duplicates things, like 666, there's an emphasis on it, right? Six is the flesh, 666 is the devil, right? So now I'm hearing $55.55. I think, well, that's pretty interesting. So I go to checkout, and I end up not getting this one thing that I have, and I put it aside, and there's like a shuffling of even what I'm deciding to get. And then she rings my stuff up, the person that's at the register, and guess what my stuff comes to? $55.55. Now, catch this. So what's going to happen? What happened here? This was a full-on divine setup because they were going to be $55.55, and I was going to be $55.55. If I was first, as I should have been if they hadn't cut me off, then what's about to happen wouldn't have happened. But instead, I heard that they were $55.55, and then I'm $55.55, and on her own volition, I think, if I recall correctly, the person at the cash register says, that's crazy. That was just $55.55, and you're just $55.55. She says, it must mean something. Now, do you know what happened right then? Then I got an interpretation, right? We talked about prophecy last week. There's the word, there's an interpretation, and sometimes there's an application that you get. You want to get all those from the Lord and not make up your own. But instantly, I get the interpretation because it's already kind of in the back of my mind. She says, that's crazy. It must mean something. Do you know what that was right there? An invitation. So I said, do you know that five is the number of grace in the Bible? Instantly, I say that. Why? Because like Philip, I'm already thinking along ministry lines. I'm getting held up so severely here that I'm thinking, this must be God. Now, I want to tell you, this is something that's important about following God in your life. Because if you're not following God in your life on a consistent basis, you're getting held up because you're not doing what he has for you to do. Hopefully you got that. If you are following him on a consistent basis, we've learned that most of the time when something's not working right or clicking right, it's actually the Holy Spirit telling us to hold up. Now this becomes really easy because now the vast majority of the signals that you're getting, the directional signals that you're getting are from the Holy Spirit, not from disobedience. And so you start to think, I'm not crazy in the grocery store. I'm getting held up about something. Let me be sensitive to what the Lord's doing. So here I am, and she says, that must mean something. I said, do you know that five is the number of grace in the Bible? She says, no way. And I said, yeah, and when God multiplies numbers like that where they get repeated, he's really emphasizing it. And I said, in fact, Romans 5:17, it's the only one that came to mind quickly, Romans 5:17 says that we can receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness and thereby reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. And she says, wow, that's interesting. I say, yeah, isn't that so good that we can receive the abundance of grace from Jesus and then reign in life? She says, yeah, that's interesting. Boy, this is interesting. Something like that, right? Now, I've got a line after me because you know the person in front of me with that big card and, you know, this was a big long delay. So now the line is formed. So I can't really share much more with her right then and I don't have any tracks with me. But I get out to the car and I'm thinking, I'm fired up that, you know, it's just a great exchange how that got arranged. I'm like, this is awesome. But I started thinking, she's not going to get saved off of that. That was a seed at best. As good as that was, it was a seed at best. And so I go out to the car, get a track, and then I'm thinking, how am I going to go back in? Now, at this point, I had not been sharing the gospel very actively for a few months before that. Like, I probably could, at that point, couldn't remember the last time I went out of my way to share the gospel. Although I probably had sort of tangentially a couple different times. But I was kind of rusty is what I'm trying to say. And many of you might feel rusty right now too. And so I drove back and forth. Oh, maybe I shouldn't. Oh, maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't. And then I was like, I'm going. So I go back in and I'm thinking, she's going to have to be at a different spot because there she's so busy, I can't walk up to her and talk with her. So I pray, I say, Father, I pray that she'd be at a different spot. So I go back in with a track, and I try to find where she's at. She wasn't where she was, so the Lord answered my prayer. It turns out she's at a register that's totally not busy. And I'm like, praise God. And so I walk around for a second. I say, Lord, just get my heart right. I don't want to be awkward about this. And this is important. If you're nervous, sometimes your nervousness comes off as awkwardness, and it'll make them think that something's wrong when actually everything's right. Okay? And so I walk up to her, and I said, hey, it's me again, the 55-55 guy. She said, oh, yeah. And I said, hey, I enjoyed getting to talk with you for just a second there, but I felt like I didn't get to explain it real well. So if you'd be willing, I'd love to get, I brought in something for you to read about how to have a relationship with God. It follows up on what I was telling you about. Would you be interested in that? She said, oh, sure. And I said, now before I give it to you, would you promise me that you actually will read it? She said, I promise. I said, that's great. So I give it to her. And then I talked to her for another couple minutes. Now we end up seeing her like more than a week later. Megan and I, for some other thing we were doing at the store. Now, she hadn't read it yet, but on her own volition, she said, I still got it. I'm going to read it. And she's pointing to it where she put it in her apron. Now, isn't that awesome? Why? 55-55, didn't get offended, getting cut off. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's what the Lord does. Okay? I'll give you another testimony. This one's on your list. This one is, I think it's just listed as a phrase. So we're talking about how do you get into sharing the gospel. This one is, excuse me, could I talk with you about the Lord? Question mark. This is a Bradism. Pastor Brad does this one. He taught me how to do this one. This one, it can be more uncomfortable because there's no sort of safety net with this one. Do you see what I'm saying? Praying for someone's healing, it's like, that's your inroad. This is kind of like, you just sort of step out. But it's beautiful. Totally beautiful, and it's totally fine. So here's the story. We're at a mall. He's teaching me how to witness a few years ago. And so we go to this mall, and we always pray ahead of time, God, that the right people, we'd talk with the right people. You know who's ready that we'd talk with the right people. So we walk around, and we're just looking for a witness about, does it feel like we should talk with anyone? And it's not because they have blue eyes or blonde hair or any other distinguishing age demographic or anything else. It's just a spiritual witness about we should talk with this person or not. So two people catch Brad's eye, and we walk up to them. They're young girls. They're probably like 18, 20, something like that, probably in their first years of college. So we walk up to them, and Brad does this very, very well. And he says, excuse me, could I talk with you about the Lord? And they look at him. And in that moment, when they look, usually their brains are going to go through a series of calculations in a very short amount of time, and you can see it happen on their face. The first calculation... After you finish your phrase is when the calculations start. The first calculation is, oh, someone just talked to me. The second calculation is, and what did they say? And your brain will go back through, excuse me, can I talk with you about the Lord? The third thing that happens on their face, all in a very short amount of time, is you can tell that they start to think, is this guy crazy? Because this is out of the blue. As soon as you see that, are you crazy face, what Brad says, and it's perfect, he'll say something to the effect of, I know it's kind of crazy for some guy to just walk up to you and ask if he could talk with you about the Lord. Did you hear what he does? He'll say, I know it's a little bit crazy to someone just ask if they could talk with you about the Lord. What he's trying to do is that they know if he knows that it's odd, he's fine. There's people in your life that are odd that don't know that they're odd. But if they know that they're odd, it's okay. We know this. Now, so just that little phrase right there is so essential. Excuse me, I could talk with you about the Lord. Once they kind of catch what's happening, about half a second later, 2 seconds later, you can say, I know it's a bit odd for someone to come out of the blue and just ask that. And you can do it with a smile. And what they'll then do is the tension of the moment will diffuse as they laugh out loud. That's what happens, I think, every time that we've done this. They'll laugh out loud. Yeah, it is kind of crazy. And now... the atmosphere is totally clear. They're adjusted to the fact that you're asking to talk with them about the Lord. And he said, you know, after they laugh, then you can just say something. But it would be great to talk with you about the Lord if you're willing. No pressure You don't say no pressure, but your tone says no pressure. This time with these two young ladies who walk up to him, excuse me, could I talk with you about the Lord? Little laugh. And then they say, they look at each other, look back at us, look at each other, look back at us. I'm kind of remembering in my mind's eye a little bit, because then their facial expression gets kind of like they're almost like bewildered with amazement. And they say, this is so crazy. And here's what they say. We were just standing here asking each other and talking about what does it mean to have a relationship with God? Okay, let me go back to something from Acts 8, verse 31. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I unless someone guides me? Two young girls are standing there at a mall in a food court talking with each other, saying, what does it mean to have a relationship with God? And they're having a conversation, and neither of them have the answer. Up we walk, and Brad says, excuse me, can I talk with you about the Lord? And they say, this is the craziest thing ever. We were just wondering how to have a relationship with God. And so, of course, we say, well, that's actually exactly what we wanted to talk with you about. Would you be willing to hear? Yes, 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 yes. So then what we do is you just say, hey, it might be easier if we sit down at a table. Would you be willing to grab a table? So we sit down at a table, start sharing with them from Genesis to John 3:3 to Romans 10, they're born again. Isn't that incredible? So thankful. I mean, they are just overjoyed, overjoyed that someone found them as they're wondering how to have a relationship with God. Isn't that wonderful? So that's another way that I've had the opportunity to get to share the gospel. Okay, you ready for me to give the last out of eight? The last out of eight. And this one I know a lot of people have been interested in, and that is praying for people's healing is a chance, it was a way that I've gotten into sharing the gospel, okay? I'm going to get a sip of water, and then we'll jump in. Are you doing okay with the stories? Okay, here's this one. I'm in an airport. This is about 4 or 5 months ago, not long ago. I'm in an airport, and I've got like 2 hours to do some work before my flight's going to board. So I go to a Starbucks at this airport, small airport. Go to the Starbucks at this airport, and I'm thinking as I go to the counter at Starbucks, I'm going to need to find a table with a computer plug-in, you know, an outlet to plug my computer in because I've got to do some work on my computer, and I knew my battery was low. That was before I got a new computer. So I'm thinking I'm going to need to be, but I go get my coffee, I get cream in the coffee, and then I'm thinking I should sit at the table that's right there by where you put the cream in the coffee, right there by the counter. And I'm like, this is odd that I'm thinking to sit at this table, because I know I need to plug my computer in, and there's no plug right there. But, right, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. A big issue in ministry, let me make an aside, a clear conscience is one of the most powerful tools of the ministry. A clear conscience is one of the most powerful tools of the ministry. I'm not talking about being righteous before Christ. You got to be 100% righteous before Christ when you receive Christ. I'm talking about what 1 John 3 says, that if your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart, right? So even if your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart, and you're fine with God. But I'm on his end. But on your end, your heart will condemn you, and you won't have what you ask because you're timid before him. The other thing that will happen is that you know that your heart's not actually delighting in the Lord, and because of that, you know that the desires of your heart are not always his. And if the desires of your heart are not always his, that becomes a problem in ministry because now you don't know if you're being led by the flesh or led by the Spirit. This is like ministry 301. But if the desires of your heart are his, now you start to, you literally, it's like you start to wonder sometimes, was that me or was that God? And you realize it was actually one and the same. And so when I start to randomly think I should sit at this table, instead of me feeling like, oh, you know, it's probably because I ate pizza yesterday or something like that, I'm believing, like 9 times out of 10, that's because the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. So I sit down at this table without internet, which is fine because I thought I've got computer work to do, but I also had to have my time in the Word yet that day, so I'll read the Bible, which doesn't require a plug. And so I'll do that. So I start reading the Bible there. Now, like Philip, I'm thinking to myself, why did God have me sit here? Anybody have a guess? I'm going to minister to someone, right? And so I'm just kind of wondering who it's going to be. And so I'm sitting there reading the word, enjoying my time, not like fretting, like constantly looking around like I was a spy about to get ambushed. I'm just enjoying reading the word, being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit might ask me to do, who might ask me to talk to. And then up at the counter, which I'm very like just 10 feet away from the Starbucks counter, there's this young man who's apparently gender confused. So he's standing up there at the counter, and he's all this conversation for about 10 minutes is about, you know, I don't know which pronoun I want to be called by, and it's that sort of conversation. And how many of you know that Jesus himself said that from the beginning, God has made them what? Male and female. So there is sex. It's biological. Women have an XX, and men have an XY, and there's no confusion with God, right? But this young man's confused. God bless him. Okay? And I hope that he gets unconfused because it's not going to be helpful for him. So I'm thinking, as I'm sitting there listening to this conversation for about 10 minutes, this might be the guy that the Lord has for me to minister to. Now, let me just give you insight into my heart in that moment. Here's what I do. I tell the Lord, I say, God, I'm willing. That's the first thing. And I totally am. He knows that I'm willing, and I know that I know that I'm willing. So I tell him, God, I'm totally willing, but I don't know how to, I've never ministered to those that are gender confused before. And so I'm just telling him, God, I'm willing. All this is happening in my heart, not with words, but this is what my heart is telling him. I see it. I realize that might be why I'm sitting here. And I'm telling the Lord, I'm willing, but I might not be able unless you help me out. Okay? Now, every time I've ever had breakthrough in ministry, it's been through that same prayer. As in, every time I have a new sort of thing that I pray for that I have breakthrough in, before I have a testimony there, you just got to step out. So that's why I know that I don't know how to do that, but I know that He'll help me if that's what he has for me to do. But I've also told you guys, you minister out of lead, not out of need. Minister out of lead, not out of need. And so I'm sitting there telling the Lord in my heart, I'm willing, but you'd have to help me with that one. His heart very well, I'm just aware his heart might be very hard towards God. It might be a very tricky ministry thing. It might be a little bit dicey. And I would just want the Lord to show me how to do that. If so, 10 minutes later, I have no lead for that, right? So I'm sitting there, and he keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, right? And let the peace of the Lord rule in your hearts. And so you actually want to be directed. He'll make your taskmaster's peace, and your magistrate's righteousness, the Bible says. Did you catch that? He'll make your taskmaster, boy, this is ministering to me right now. Whew. He'll make your taskmaster peace. The peace is going to tell you what to do. Your to-do list sometimes is making you fret. My to-do list sometimes is making you fret. Make your to-do list out of peace. He'll make your taskmaster peace and your magistrate's righteousness. He'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, right? Let the peace of the Lord rule in your heart, okay? And so I'm not going to, as I'm sitting there, I consciously stay in the peace of the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to put myself out there in ministry, even though I'm aware that I'm sitting here for a ministry opportunity. I'm staying in peace, and then there's no witness, so I don't do anything. So 10 minutes later, I've done nothing with that. And then from behind the desk comes a Starbucks employee who I hadn't seen. And she comes hobbling out from behind the desk looking like this. I'm dead serious. She's about like 19 years old, and she's walking like this. And for those that can't see online, she's taking 6-inch steps at a time with like a hand on her back and hunched over. Now, then I had a word of knowledge. You know what it was? Her back was hurting. Okay. That was a word of obvious, okay? Now, so it's clear that her back is hurting. Now, before 10 minutes in, I still never say anything to the young man who's struggling with his gender identity. I haven't said anything to him. This person walks out from behind the counter, and I would estimate that from when I first looked up from the word that I was reading and looked at her and saw her in that state to when I engaged her in conversation was no more than 1.25 seconds. Instantaneous. As fast as my brain could process that she had a hurting back, words were already coming out of my mouth. Why? Remember Philip in that scenario. God says, go overtake the chariot. He gets there, hears him reading Isaiah, and he says, do you understand what you read? He instantly knew what to do. In this case, I instantly knew what to do. Now, let me tell you how I do this, because this is tricky. This is the hardest part, and I'm still learning about it. How to engage people to offer to pray for them for healing is the hardest part of this type of sharing the gospel. Okay? And I've gotten a lot better at it so that usually it works just fine, but I've also got examples where I butchered it and it didn't work out. Not like they felt bad, but just they didn't want me to pray for them, okay? Now, this one worked great. She's about 15 feet from me, so I'm going to need to talk loud enough that she hears me, but I need to talk gentle enough that I don't scare her, and I also need to have compassion in my voice that draws her into the conversation. And so what I did is I hit all the buttons to do that. No. It's just your heart's right and all that comes out. Do you see what I'm saying? The fruit of the Spirit comes out. Patient, gentle, kind, right? Self-controlled. That all comes out because you're with the Lord. But the tone of voice that came out was just perfect. And it was something to the effect, I said, oh, is your back hurting? Like that. Now, she immediately knew that I was talking about her because her back was hurting. She looks to me and she says, it's terrible. I said, oh no, how long has it been hurting you, right? So she starts sharing a little bit, just a tiny bit. And then here's what I say. I'm telling you, I don't know if you guys will do this, but I'm telling you, it works beautifully. Here's what I say. I say basically something like this. I said, I know this might be, I usually don't even say that. I'll say, well, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. And actually, the majority of time I pray for people's backs, they're healed on the spot. Would you like me to pray for you? And for me, that's an accurate statistic. The majority of times I pray for people's back, they're healed on the spot. Now, I haven't had as much success with other things, but I've seen a lot of backs get healed on the spot. And so I just tell her that. And she said, really? And I said, yeah. She said, well, sure. And so I get up and I say, would you like to get a seat since your back's hurting? Now, do you notice how I'm sensitive to the fact that she's got a hurting back? She's clearly in pain standing. How easy is it going to be for her to receive prayer if she's still standing, right? So she sits down, and here's what happens. As she sits down, I sit across from her at the table she picked out, and she's grimacing in pain so bad that every 10 seconds I have to stop talking to let her get past that pain wave in order for me to keep talking with her. So what I typically do, once I'm going to pray for someone, I like to increase their faith just a little bit. They don't need faith. It can just be on my faith. But I like to do that. And here's what I tell them. I'll usually say, I don't know if you're familiar with Jesus, if you've ever heard what he did in the Bible. And they'll say usually something like, oh, yeah. Well, what did he do when people came to him that were sick? I'll ask them. And they all know the answer. Oh, he healed them. And I'll say, well, you might not know this, but he actually said that believers ought to do the exact same thing. And so I've been doing that for a number of years. And like I said, often when I pray for people, they'll be healed. And if you're thinking to yourself right now, well, when I pray for people, often they're not healed. Okay, let me tell you, I prayed for probably 100 people before I ever saw anybody healed. Okay? But what's happening right now, there's been an acceleration in the body of Christ. I'm speaking to you prophetically, and people are getting it like first time they try sometimes. So just jump in. If you don't have a testimony, share Jesus' testimony. Share my testimony. Oh, my pastor, he prays for people and they get healed. Oh, good enough, right? Just encourage their faith a little bit. So then what I did is I prayed with her in earnest, out loud, and I commanded that pain to leave in the name of Jesus, right? And I felt the anointing super strong. Now, I don't need to feel the anointing for someone to get healed. About 50% of the time, you maybe feel the anointing real strong. Sometimes you don't, and they can get healed both ways. But I felt the anointing really strong. I knew I was locked in faith, and she felt nothing. And so I told her, I said, well, even Jesus prayed twice for a blind man before he could see totally better, so could I try again with you? Do you see how I did that real humbly? And by the way, I've got that one memorized because I often have to try again. And so I try again with her and I pray again. She doesn't feel anything, but she says she feels a lot of peace, like that sort of thing. And I'm thinking, oh man, I just had warning track power today. And baseball joke. Okay, as in it wasn't quite a home run. She felt the presence of God, but she didn't get healed, it seemed. Okay, now I'm thinking to myself, well, she actually, this was still a witness to her. She's like, thank you so much. She felt so loved, you could tell. And I'm telling you, what's the safety belt for all ministry? Love. The safety belt for all ministry is love. You put on that safety belt, you can't lose. And so what happened was, I said, well, let me ask you a little bit about Jesus. Do you know if you're born again? We've already been talking about Jesus. She says, no, I'm not quite sure. So I share the gospel with her in about a minute. because she's on the job still, although she's not going to be much use to them in that state, but she's on the job. I share the gospel in about a minute, maybe two, something like that, very briefly, and I give her a gospel tract and encourage her to read the gospel tract that night and tell her she could pray that night and guarantee her salvation. Okay? She's like, thank you so much. This is great. Now, do you know who was sitting next to us the entire time? The gender-confused young man. The seat she picked was in the neighboring table, like 2 feet from the gender-confused young man, who found himself having to hear the entire gospel and me pray for her with authority in Jesus' name. Isn't that awesome? Now, what do you do when you're in that spot? I noticed that we're right next to him. I'm thinking, oh, he might be antagonistic to this, right? And I'm just like, well, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. We're going to rock and roll, okay? Now, catch this. I'm thinking, well, at least I got to share the gospel with her. This was great. And why did I get to share the gospel? Because I offered to pray. Do you realize you guys have a utility that you... Imagine a doctor who knows how to see people healed of something running into someone with the very ailment they know how to heal. Would they say nothing? You guys can see anything healed by the power of Jesus. It's already been paid for on the cross. And so you've got a utility. You have a function. You can serve to the world, and God wants you to serve that function to the world. And so anyway, I offer this to her, and that gave me an opportunity to share the gospel. 15 minutes later, I'm back at my table, you know, by the counter, reading the Bible. She pops out from behind the counter, the girl I just prayed for, holding a huge box and saying, thank you so much. And she said, my back is better than when I came to work today. And it had got thrown out at work. Isn't that incredible? And so I'll say this, I did overhear her sometime between like the 15 minutes between when we prayed and that she said she took 5 Advil, I overheard her say. But so full disclaimer, that said, I don't think Advil work in 7 minutes like that, and nor do they make your back better than it was before. And for whatever, all that put together, she didn't tell me about the Advil. To her, she's exclaiming, this is awesome. She knew it was God. Somehow she knew it was God. And I believe it was too. Now she's got a tract. I already shared the gospel with her. She felt loved, and she got healed better than she was before. Isn't that awesome? And she's a young kid, so she's probably telling all the people that are working with her. And that other guy who's gender confused that works there probably heard about it too. Isn't that great? So all that to say, that's just another way I've had an opportunity to share the gospel, and it's by praying for healing. Now, just the other day, I didn't do this real well at a place. Let me give you an example of where it didn't work out. It's a nuance. Is that a place I often go? Someone threw their back out, backs. I can see other things healed too. Jesus can pay for it all. But this was a back again, which for me is like a meatball down the middle. Another baseball analogy, you know? And so anyway, this person had thrown their back out. And once they helped me at the store, I said, I know this might be out of the blue, but I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and typically when I pray for people's backs, they'll get healed on the spot. I don't know if you'd like me to pray for your back. If so, we could go into the back room, because I know that store, and I could pray for you there. And he said, no thanks, I'm good. And later that night, I told that to Megan, and she said, do you know why that didn't work that time? I put 2 thought processes together, and it probably freaked him out. I put the back room part. See, our communications person totally picked this up. I'm just thinking practically so he wouldn't feel uncomfortable around customers. But, yes. So what would have been better is if I said, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. Typically when I pray for people's back, they're healed. Would you like me to pray for you? And just left it there. And then if he said yes, what could I have done? I said, now, do you want me to pray here? Would you prefer that maybe we just step back there to pray? What would be best for you? Do you see how that would have come out much better? What I'm trying to tell you is I'm making myself transparent and vulnerable to say I'm working at this, okay? And skill is when faith meets experience. And so you guys have faith for this, but just know as you step out sharing the gospel, you need to couple that with experience, and that's what creates skill, okay? And so with that, one of the ways that you can get skill much more quickly is using somebody else's kind of framework that they've developed through experience. So, for instance, remember Brad's 5 questions, how to turn a conversation spiritual? That framework is a skill that he developed through experience, and as a result, what ends up happening is that you can operate with his experience set if you follow that framework. Related to that, what I have for you guys, and this is for house church next week because I am done for today, what I have for you guys is a one-page document, front and back, on healing. This is really, really good. Now, you might say, you know, let someone else testify about you. I'm testifying about someone else. The front page is Brad's, the back page is Randy Clark's. The front page is Brad's, the back page is Randy Clark. So the front page is what Brad taught this summer. At least two out of the three messages are summarized in the front page. God's will for healing and how healing has already been paid for on the cross. The issue is only our faith. Okay? The back page is a five-step prayer model for how to pray for someone's healing. And you already just heard me demo that, actually, with that story where I'm saying, I'm interviewing, I'm asking how it's going, I'm deciding how I'm going to pray, then I pray, and then I see how she's doing, and then if necessary, I pray again, and then I give some parting suggestions, and this point it was about receiving Christ. Okay? So I demoed that, but next week you guys are going to, in house church, go through the front page and the back page of this, and then get to pray for one another. We just had a training on Friday night with 13 prayer ministers who are going to do this next Friday night at one night, so they can help facilitate that conversation. In fact, they're probably going to have testimonies to share on Sunday from Friday night. Isn't that awesome? So I'll give you guys these today. I'd start reading them right now. You're going to find it wildly encouraging and empowering because it's so simple. It's so simple. I'll tell you what, I've prayed for many people out, like not in churches, where people don't get healed. Across the board, they feel incredibly loved. And you know what else? You're also an amazing witness to them because think about how many people they know that are Christians who they wonder if they really believe what they say they believe. If you will find someone on a street who's hurting and offer to pray for their healing, do you know what's one thing for sure they know about you? You're the real deal. Did you catch that? You become an instant testimony to Jesus because for you to care enough about them to pull them aside and for you to believe enough in him to pray for a miracle, you're a testimony right there. You're a witness to them. And often you're going to see them healed. Okay? Powerful, powerful. So I'm going to give this. Megan's going to pass this out for me. Thank you. Make sure you don't leave without this. And then the extras I want to go with the house church, break them up between the house church leaders so that you've got them for next week. Well, Father, I pray your sealing over this word. Is anybody encouraged? Yes. Come on. Now, my back hurt this morning, and my back never hurts. Testimony, come on. This week, we had friends over. Before they came over, I'm out in my wood shop, which is my office, and I get a headache. I don't have headaches. And I come in on purpose because I'm thinking, this is probably a prophetic headache. You guys know words of knowledge? One way you'll get them is you'll get a pain that's not yours. So one way you can test whether that's the Lord telling you something is you can say, Lord, if that pain is just telling me this, cause it to leave. And the pain will evaporate instantly. And you know, that's a word of knowledge. Okay? But in general, if you don't have that sort of pain, it's probably a word of knowledge. So I get this bad headache. I don't have headaches. I probably have not had a headache in the last decade. So I get a bad headache all of a sudden. We have friends coming over, and here's what I do. I walk in out of our wood shop, those of you that know our house, and I go into the kitchen where our friend had just arrived, and Megan's there, and out loud, on purpose, very loudly, you know, I say, man, I've got a terrible headache. And then I'm putting bait out there, right? Bait. And then I, meaning to say to Megan, I say, babe, do you have a, or I don't say babe, I say, do you have a headache? Putting my words towards Megan, who's at the sink, and our friend immediately intercepts the words and say, I was just telling Megan what a bad headache I have. And I said, well, this headache wasn't actually mine, it was a word of knowledge. God's going to see you healed right now, so let me pray for you. And she said, sure. So I put my hands on her head, and I said, Father, your presence, your power come right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we thank you for it. I could feel the power of God instantly. Again, you don't need to feel anything. It's not by faith, or it's by faith, not by sight. But then I say, and I command all pain to leave. I command the headache to leave. I command rest to come into her head right now in Jesus' name. I say, how are you? That's about how long I prayed for. How are you? I'm 90% better. Now, she had a terrible headache, 90% better instantly, right? And I say, so what do? I praise God. I say, God, thank you so much. That is awesome. That's a miracle. We thank you, Jesus. You're so good. And then I say, okay, let me pray that the last 10% is going to go. Where's the last 10%? It's in my temples. Okay, so I put my hands on her temples. I say, pain, go in the name of Jesus. All the rest of it, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And we thank you for the rest of it going now in Jesus' name. How are you? It's totally gone, is what she says. Totally gone, instantly. Isn't that awesome? Word of knowledge. So this morning, I had pain in my back as I'm just rehearsing the sermon in my wood shop. And I'm like, is it because I've been on my feet too long? And then I was like, Lord, if that's a word of knowledge, take the pain away. Pain goes away instantly. And then I said, Lord, you'll have to remind me when I'm teaching. I'll forget. And the last 10 minutes, this pain came into my back again. And so I'm thinking that it might be a word of knowledge. Does anybody have pain in their back? Anybody have pain in their back? Okay, Renee and Sean too? Okay, now here's what we're going to do. You guys are going to pray for them, okay? And we'll dismiss after we do this. You guys are going to pray for them. Now, what I want to tell you is that you are operating as an ambassador of Christ, and he came to set captives free. He already paid for their healing on the cross, just as much as he's already paid for mankind's sin on the cross too. It's already paid for. So we know what he wants to have happen. When you pray for backs, let me give you some skills about praying for backs. Command the pain to go. Don't ask the pain to go. Don't even ask God to take the pain. Did you hear what I said? Don't ask God to take the pain. When Jesus' back was whipped, the pain was already taken. Don't ask him to take it. It's already been done. So you command the pain to go, and then always release the peace of God to flow through their back, and also command all tension to leave. These are just practicals I've learned about praying with backs. Those are the things that are going on. You want peace in there, tension out of there, and pain absolutely removed. Okay? There could be an alignment issue too, as you ask them. They might say, well, yeah, the doctor says I'm out of alignment. Then pray that things would be aligned. Pray that cartilage would be reformed. Pray that things would line up. You might have to pray that a nerve becomes unpinched. Make sense? All right. So what we're going to do, we'll stop the recording now. Well, you can keep recording. But we'll get up, we'll pray for them, and then anybody else who needs prayer can come up, and our prayer ministry team will pray for you. Okay? So don't leave here if you're in pain. All right? We love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. Isn't it great to serve a great God? It's fun. Okay, bless you all.